It's the start of Mental Health Awareness Week, and this year's theme is Reimagine Wellbeing Together. He Tirahanga Anamata. Sir John Kirwan is synonymous with the depression and anxiety aspects of mental well-being in this country, so it's a good time to catch up with him. And he has a new TV series starting this week on Choice TV, The Batch That JK Built, about he and his wife Fiorella pulling down their old holiday home in the Bay of Plenty and deciding what to put there in its place. And there's some sort of metaphor there for mental health. John Kirwan, good morning.
Good morning. How are we?
We're very well, thank you. Your new show, The Batch That JK Built, very intimate look at your life.
Yeah, I had to talk my wife into it a wee bit because she's never really been in the public eye, so we enjoyed it, actually. It was I love that type of thing, so it sort of married in pretty well. And we had some big decisions to make because I brought the land from back in the day, which you'd probably call illegal rugby money, you know, because we're amateurs and we'd go overseas and earn a bit of money. So, you know, I bought the batch, the land with that, and then we built in 91. But really, the design and the whole thing was wrong from the start.
Yeah.
So the decision was, you know, do we spend X amount doing it up or do we pull it down and redo it? And eventually that's what we decided to do.
Yeah, it never worked, that batch. But Waihee Beach, it's your Tauranga Waiwai pretty much. You are really rooted in that beach, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a beautiful Maori word called ukaipo, which means where you belong. I think it actually means to be part of something or to belong. And you know, my mum went down there when she was 18. She had to go with her older brother who was 10 years older. Her mum passed away last year at 92. But it's been such an important part of my life, you know, growing up, surfing, but also when I was unwell, you know, mentally, it was sort of my go-to, really.
It is certainly one of the best beaches in New Zealand. It's got that perfect surf, really, hasn't it?
It's not the greatest surf beach in the world, right? But I just love it because, like, I was out last weekend and it was just me and my neighbour out there and, you know, we're both closer to 60 than we are to 50. And we're just cruising and having a good time. It's a really good vibe in the water. I mean, if you want great waves, you probably should go to Whangamata or Raglan or something like that, you know. But Waihee is good enough for what I want. And, you know, I just sit out there in the water and overlook the beautiful, you know, Pūtūkawas coming down to the ocean. I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah, as a non-surfer, I've always kind of admired the regularity of the surf, but, you know, you'd know all the nuances of that. But it's a wonderful beach. And before I talk more about the project and the beach, what emerges in the first episode of your series is that fire, sea and nature, John, they are the forces that keep you mentally well.
Yeah. I'm at one with the sea and just really, actually the drive down there, I start really chilling and relaxing. So when I've been particularly busy, you know, just the drive I love and I sort of wind down getting there. But, you know, for me, fire as well. If I could sit and look at the ocean all day, but also a fire. So I've sort of got a little bit of both those in the beach, which is lovely. You know, when I lived in Italy, our Italian home, we've got three fireplaces because I couldn't get to the sea.
You've always carried with you the image of the cliffs along the beach at Waihee as you've travelled. And that helped you when you were overseas too? That also helped you remember home and find happiness?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that I learned coming through my mental health challenges was, I just called it rewiring my brain, but I think the technical term is probably cognitive behavior therapy. And so I remember very early on, you know, the psychiatrist told me to, when you have a bad thought or something that upsets you, to stop it, you know, actually with the word stop, and put a image in. And, you know, I invariably would put that image, I mean, I can see it right now as I'm talking to you, the image of, you know, the point, like I just explained with the Pūtūkawas. Or I put a, you know, a photo of, you know, my kids or whatever, you know, into my brain to sort of change that negative thought pattern.
Yeah. And yet your wife, Fiorella, who seems a very social woman in this series, did not warm to Waihee right away at all, did she?
We came from So I don't know if you've ever been to Italy, mate, but like it is a show if you go to Jesolo, right? It is just like a fashion show. It's a half nudist show. It's a, like, you name it. But what happens is also you walk off the beach and there's a main street with 400 restaurants on it, right? So in the evening, you strut down there looking as, you know, as good as you can in all your gears, and you have dinner. And I took it to Waihee, and the, back then there was only the dairy, and that closed at 6:30. I remember I was raving about Waihee, you know, and she's saying, what is this place? You know, there's no one here. I was saying, exactly, that's what we try and do in New Zealand, you know. But now she absolutely loves it, which is great. We still go to Jesolo. She was in Jesolo yesterday, actually. So, yeah, just a huge contrast. And now we've got, you know, we've got some really good restaurants and bars and stuff, so there is a bit more of a social life. But the quiet, I mean, I was there last night. I slept there last night. I was doing something in Tauranga. And just the quiet is amazing. Mm. You know, you just get a great night's sleep just because there's no noise.
Yeah. And I know you love Italy. Your dog understands Italian too, as we see on the show.
Well, I wouldn't really call it a dog.
Looks like a dog.
I don't really call it a dog, but, you know, Fui Fui Moi Moi only speaks Italian, so he gets a little bit confused at times.
He is a small dog.
He is a small dog.
You aren't doing much travelling at the moment, obviously, but a big part of your heart would be in Italy. You were still travelling back a bit before COVID came.
Yeah, so my wife will go home for 3 months a year. We still have a home in Italy. My middle boy lives in Italy. He's a professional soccer player.
Yeah.
So I would normally have gone back probably for the month of August, and I'd be home by now, but we couldn't go this year. My wife's gone. She's been away a couple of months now. Her mum's not too well at the moment, so that's a bit sad for us all.
Yeah.
But yeah, the COVID has certainly limited our freedom, which is hard, but everyone's suffering in their own way, so just got to, you know, take one day at a time and get on with it.
Yeah, indeed. So you were faced with renovate, demolish and rebuild, or sell and get something else, and you decided to pull it down and start over again. So how did it come to be a TV series?
Oh, I just got approached. Would I be keen? And I said, yeah, you know, I've sort of changed direction in my life since being a coach and doing a bit of TV work. I actually quite enjoy it. So I said, yeah, I'll give it a whirl, give it a try. I'll give it a go. I've always had that attitude, and so I gave it a whirl. Like I said, the hardest thing was convincing my wife, because she's never really been in the public eye.
Mm.
But I absolutely, like someone said to me the other day, you know, if you weren't doing this, what would you love to do? I would renovate houses all the time. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love building houses and that sort of stuff. We've done, you know, just for ourselves, not on a commercial base. So I thought, yeah, I'll give it a whirl. And that's how it sort of happened. Before I knew it, there I was. And then COVID and all sorts of different things happened. So.
Yeah. There you were. And you had an all-star cast, Phil O'Reilly, who you coached in Japan. He's now a builder. The designer, Chris Tate, with his fancy sort of open box designs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing for me is Chris did a project with us when we first came back to New Zealand in our home, Auckland, and we really enjoyed working with him. I think I enjoyed building in steel. I actually brought a leaky home when I came back to New Zealand, so that was a bit of a shock for me because I'd been away from all that. And he likes building in steel. But the most important thing for us was to build a modern batch. You know, like we've still got the old batch across the road Mum and Dad bought in 1972. You know, I don't know when it was built, but, you know, it was important that we built something really simple, what I would call a modern batch that would last the test of time. And, you know, our parents gave us a great legacy. And I feel really fortunate, you know, that I got into that market early from a price point of view. And we just wanted to try and future-proof it for our kids. So when we're not here, they still take their kids and get the same sort of enjoyment as we have.
I know. It's every New Zealander's dream, isn't it? It's such a New Zealand thing. You know, it's timely that we've got you on the line because Mental Health Awareness Week's about to kick off. And saying stop to the bad images in your head, it's a good piece of advice, I think. There's a lot of burnout around. There are people thinking, I've got to hold on to my job. You know, these times are so tough. What are the best John, stress busters. If you have to carry on when it's hard, as a lot of people are, what are the best things to put in your life that'll let you carry on?
I have a daily mental health plan, and I stick to it. You know, I think the most important thing is to understand how your mind works. For example, you know, if you can meditate, if you can do yoga, if you can do something like that, it's really important you do it. I can't. I've got a really active mind. I've got a ruminating mind. So for me, relaxing is cooking or reading. During COVID, I took up the guitar. It sounds like I'm killing a cat, but, you know, my mind really settles and relaxes. You know, I do simple things during my day. I start with a shower, but I concentrate on the hot water, you know, and I stay in the present. I drink my coffee without my telephone. You know, I sip my coffee. I really, really enjoy it. I walk really slowly, you know, and I have things that I look forward to on a daily basis. I read before I go to sleep because when I read, I know that I rest a lot better. Like I said, I cook. So these simple things, if you put them into your day, but you must make it habitual. And recently I'm co-founder of a company called Mentimia, and what we've tried to do is, and there's you can download the app free on the Apple Store or on the other store. And what I've tried to do is show everyone those tools and techniques that I learned when I was really, really unwell that keep me incredibly well today. And I just think these are just really trying times for everyone. But what I try and do is just be the best person I can be on a daily basis and have a really strong mental health plan. That is about switching off, you know. I say to people, if your computer craps out, what do? You know, and 99% of the time you turn it off and turn it on and again and it works, right? And our brains are no different. We have all these inputs. We have more inputs in one day today than our grandparents had in a lifetime. Mm. So, you know, people feel like they've got no time because we're always rushing, always got inputs. You know, our parents went home at 5 o'clock at night and went back to work the next morning, nothing followed them. They went home for the weekend, nothing followed them. You know, we're doing emails at 11 o'clock at night and 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and we're doing all sorts of different things. And that's okay. I don't think we're going to stop that world. But now we need to have a really solid mental health plan for ourselves on a daily basis. And those things are fundamental. And for me, you know, COVID has been a real positive in one sense, is that we're talking more about, you know, our mental health, our anxiety and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because the things you're describing are so simple, but I think most people know that you went down into the depths, you know, at times. So they are also very powerful, those simple things you're describing.
You know, people say to me, you know, what is thriving, JK? Are you happy every day? And I say, no, I'm not happy. You know, I had a shitty day yesterday. My wife's been away for 2 months. You know, I've had a gut swell of not being able to travel. And that's what I felt like when I woke up. But what I've got is I've got the tools and techniques to make me the best I can be that day. And for me, that's resilience. You know, you talk about resilience and talk about getting through stuff. And really, for me, it's tools and techniques that make you the best you can be, you know, in that day. And I'm really at peace with my emotions, you know. It's okay if I'm a bit flat. It's okay. I don't have to be up every day. So I lean into it rather than push it away and say, I should be this, I should be that, you know. And I think those things are really important.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? On the breakdown, I've got to ask you a little bit about rugby, if you don't mind, because on the breakdown, which you co-host on Sky Sport, you made an impassioned sort of plea, basically saying the government should be looking at opening the borders in a controlled sort of way to allow teams into the country to play test matches here. Now, since you did that, the All Blacks will host 2 Bledisloe Cup games. So they've met you halfway here. Are you happy enough with what's going on?
Yeah, look, I think what I also wanted was I wanted a bit more transparency, you know. And I'm not just talking for rugby. I'm talking for all sports and the arts. You know, we've got to learn to start living with this thing rather than trying to live without it. And so for me, it's how do we do it properly while looking after and protecting everything that we've worked so hard to have, which is, you know, bugger all COVID cases and a country working together. But I think you can start changing things a wee bit. You know, those rugby players should be COVID tested and should be isolated in their own countries for 2 weeks before they come. And then they get here and, you know, they maybe can do isolation, but they can go training together in their own bubble. So just a little bit of change to really kickstart, you know, the economies of sport, and also give the public something to look forward to. You know, like I mentioned before, mental health, for me, I love looking forward to stuff. I will look forward to a test match. It's good for people, you know, especially when it's tough, you know, to be looking forward to something. So I think that's important.
Okay, one more thing. It was announced that the Rugby Championship 2020 will be hosted in Australia. So our players will be going over to Oz for 8 to 10 weeks, and many players will leave young families behind, and the Warriors had problems with this. But then, you know, you think, or people say in World War II, men were gone for years. How did you cope with that aspect of things when you were an All Black? Because you would know what kinds of problems these players will face emotionally.
Amazing woman. Absolutely amazing wife and mother. And really, I couldn't have done it without her. We also thought it was my job, and that it was important that you do your job. So certainly not easy. I mean, I think the longest, you know, I'd stay away would be about 8 or 10 weeks. And it's really tough. It's tough on your family life. You're not there for your kids. You know, often your wife is like a single parent. So, yeah, I had really strong and wonderful wife, which got me through. So it's a sacrifice, you know. It's an incredible sacrifice that these guys will have to make. But it is also their job. And a real honour. So there's that whole mix of emotions that go on. I don't think it'll go ahead, mate. I said that the other night on the breakdown. I don't think it will go ahead just because 6 of the Argentinians have COVID now.
Yeah.
And the South Africans, you know, COVID's rampant over there. So I think that's a bit too much of a risk.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see. Your priorities have changed over the years. I know. I just want to ask you one more thing, because it's probably a relevant thing. What are the most important aspects of your life in order?
I hope this doesn't sound selfish, but the most important thing for me is to really look after my mental health. So when I look after my mental health and have a strong daily mental health plan, then I'm a better father, I'm a better, you know, I'm a better husband, I'm a better friend, better work colleague. And then I think making sure you prioritise, so I'm right into my family and love having my family around me, so they're a really big priority. And then for me, it's having open and honest relationships with the people I love and care about, no matter how I'm feeling. So that would sort of be my three priorities. I think fourth down is, you know, I'm motivated, I'm a competitor, I love being successful as well. So I put that on there as well, because I think getting up and being motivated and doing something that you love and care about is important.
Yeah, you've got good recipes, and thanks for sharing them. And all the best with the TV series, and good of you to talk to us. Thanks so much, John.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
So, John Kirwan. I think JK's onto something with fires, says Paul, but sadly it's so hard for many people to have access to an open fire these days. And some of the big magazines, which you may have time for a peruse of on a Sunday morning, the headlines: Why America is Afraid of TikTok in the Atlantic. Ruth Ginsburg, the Great Equalizer, in the New Yorker. In Forbes magazine, the billionaire who wanted to die broke is now officially broke. That's an amazing tale.